Live
and local
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Ian Dable.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, this was a real surprise because the list we were expecting to see, we thought was going to have places like Portugal on it, possibly Australia, you know, places with which we'd had a long history of holidays or a kind of colonial past linked to. And in fact, the list that we've got has got some surprises on it. And it's also got some countries that, although we're allowing people to go on holiday there, at the time that the list was produced, those countries hadn't yet opened to us as British travellers. So it was a really strange time that day. The whole of the travel industry was getting out long lists of things, checking Foreign Office advice and, you know, ringing up the embassies of countries and saying, is this true? You know, can we fly to you tomorrow? But actually things have settled down now. And we've got, you know, some real old favourites that everybody likes to holiday at, you know, the vast majority of people like to holiday at each year, the Frances, the Spains, you know, all those people, all those countries. And then we've got some unusuals. And these are countries that really are relatively straightforward for us as British passport holders to visit at this time. So Italy, Spain, places like Cyprus, the Greek side of the of Cyprus, certainly France, Germany, Greece, those countries that you know, we're used to travelling to, they're all open to British travellers. So that's the good news.
Yeah. And do you think that are they doing good business? Are the early signs that people are booking to go to these places?
Well, that's the thing. So you've got a lot of people who are still holding fire. So they're open. The countries are open. There's the product there. So they've managed to get hotels ready to open. They've managed to start their marketing. They've also managed to get airlines ready to fly. And obviously it was a great boost to travel when airlines such as Ryanair, which had cut its flights right down to the bare minimum, suddenly announced that they were back flying to 90% of their destinations. So everything is in place. The only thing is that lots of people who are used to, if you like, the peaks and troughs of COVID, a little bit of good news, a bit of bad news, easing lockdown, then lockdown being reapplied in certain hotspots.
Sure.
Now there's talk of the second spike. So that kind of thing is making people cautious with actually putting money down, booking a deposit, or actually booking a flight. So we've got reticence.
Does that mean we've got some good deals as well for people?
It does mean you've got really good deals. And I was looking last night and putting in dates, you know, for next week, the week after, just to see. And certainly if I was flying in July, so a time when normally I wouldn't be able to get on a flight for love nor money after the kids break up from school. I mean, that's like gold premium. I can not only get on to a flight, but I can get to the hotel or resort of my choice. And some of them are offering little incentives as well. So free transfers, instead of you having to get on a bus, you know, with your kids and your suitcases for a 2-hour transfer, there's a car coming for you, that kind of thing. Little touches just to make you think, you know what, I'm going to book this. Because the problem with the travel bookings, or it has been through lockdown, is that there has been some companies taking ages to refund. So if you had booked to go away at Easter, chances are you might not have your refund back yet, even though it was cancelled and you got a nice email saying, so sorry. So financially, we've got holiday companies that still have our money. So there's another reticence for us to book, you know, spontaneously, like I was prepared to do last night, because if it was changed and the government advice changed or anything, that would be a second lot of money that would be being held by a holiday company or an airline.
And you've mentioned that our old favourites, those places that you talked about in Europe and Spain and all of those places are available. But you've also there are also a couple of places that maybe we might not have thought about.
Yeah, so what I think is particularly appealing are places like the Scandinavian countries at the moment. So who dealt with COVID really, really well, very low incidence, and a lot, very, very high proportion of people adhering to all the government rules. So that kind of abeyance and that kind of quickness to react really did was a sharp shock in getting rid of COVID incidences. So places like Iceland, Norway, Denmark, excluding Sweden, because they dealt with things very differently, as you've probably heard.
Yeah.
But those types of countries, and even places like Poland, so countries that have that kind of summer cabin culture. So, okay, they're perhaps best known for snowing, but in the summer, you know, everyone goes to the cabins in the rural part of the countries, beautiful fjords, lakes, streams, wonderful fishing. You can go canoeing, rowing, you could do lots of swimming, and you know, the scenery is amazing, and you get to have lots and lots of fresh air, huge amounts of space. So when I did one of these things in Norway, I was in the north of the country, and I didn't see anybody else for the 2 weeks that I was there with my friends, and we did loads of really great stuff. We were swimming in this amazing fjord. It looked like a holiday brochure cliche.
Yes.
And then we were barbecuing at night, the fish that we caught. I mean, it was idyllic. And I think those types of summer holidays, which perhaps would only have once been enjoyed in the main by Norwegian nationals and Danish who love to do this stuff, I think there's a real appeal with that this year for people who don't want to be in crowded resorts, want to be outside of, you know, big cities. They want to be out with Mother Nature in good fresh air, well away from any other humans. So this is appealing to me, and the prices are really reasonable. The other thing is that the smaller airports serve these rural areas. So, you know, they're not on the great big expensive Malaga routes or the difficult to find Tuscany flights for Italy. You know, these are unusual little airports dotted all over Scandinavia. So they're cheaper flights because they're not served by the bigger, larger airport facilities.
That sounds really good, Sarah. Well, look, I tell you what we'll do. I mean, you have some great ideas there. And I know that you've got one particular suggestion for somewhere that you could go have a great time and save a lot of money that's not too far to go. And also, I want to talk to you a little bit in a minute about what we can expect when we arrive on our holidays, because it's not going to be quite the same. So we'll do that in a sec. Before we do, though, I know you're a great fan of the Latin American music, so I thought we'd play a bit of that. Sarah Woods, my guest on the programme this morning, and she likes a bit of Latin American music, so I thought we'd feature it a little bit in the show. And the good news is, as Sarah was telling us, we can still take our holidays. We have to choose carefully, but there are some good bargains to be had, some great places to go. And there's one place that's very popular here, but if you just hop across the channel, you can save yourself quite a lot of money.
We've all toyed with the idea of going to centre parks, and then, if you're like me, looked at the prices and thought, goodness me.
Really expensive.
Right, really expensive. And there's so many great things for kids to do, and it appeals to me on so many levels. You know, the biking, the hiking, all the great outdoor. I mean, I love that, and my kids would love that, but I simply can't afford UK prices. That's fact. So what a kind of a certain selected number of people discovered last year, and this was all over all the travel blogs and Mumsnet, was that if you go to Holland, which is the home of centre parks, that these are the centre parks that were built, I'm going to guess, at 20, 25, 30 years ago. So they're not brand spanking new. They're not like the Woburn new facility.
Yes.
They're a little bit tired and rough around the edges because they're older. But they're established. So everything's wonderfully mature in terms of the woodlands and all the wildlife. And the service standards are excellent. But you can go for over a week for the same price as a weekend costs in this country.
Gosh.
And they do it really well. So you can fly into, I mean, for example, you can fly to Eindhoven at the moment for $9.99 using Ryanair from Stansted. And then you can travel, I think I'm right in saying, I didn't check this before I came on, but I think there's three or four centre parks within a drive of Eindhoven. And then you can stay there for a week or even longer in some of them with absolutely loads of activities. I mean, you know, the kids will be shattered. And that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and the spa facilities and everything, just like there are in the UK. So lots of stuff for adults to do too. But the price is dramatically lower. And, you know, there was a real flurry of activity last year around this. And then it's gone very quiet again because of COVID. So people won't have booked like they said they were going to. So you could still, I think, I looked online, one of them last night, to see if there was availability. There is, across the summer holidays. So it's amazing.
Sounds like a great plan. Yeah.
Right, this is my top tip. You know, especially if your kids haven't got a lot of outside time through lockdown. You know, if you feel that they've not done as much exercise or activity without school PE and all the sort of things that they normally do, and if you're seeing them sit on the sofa just with way too much screen time, this is the way of kind of, you know, easing your conscience, isn't it? It's like
it's a great suggestion. And we said that we'd talk about this. I mean, obviously lots of good places we can go. When we get there, though, it's not going to be quite the same, is it? We need to prepare for things changing a little bit. What's it going to be like when we arrive on our holiday, Sarah?
Right. So every single country is doing this slightly differently. And the thing to bear in mind is, I think this is the most important thing, actually, is that any kind of change in the situation, so for any country, if they see any kind of difference, you know, in the R rate or any other kind of anything that gives them cause for concern that there is a rising contagion, then things will change. So I think we just have to go on holiday with expecting that there may be something that we aren't prepared for. And those things could be that we might need to take a PCR test, which is a swab in your nose and your throat, which gives you a result to tell you if you're COVID positive within 72 hours. There are countries doing that at the moment. Very few and far between, actually. Most people have decided not to do that to encourage tourism. But we just need to be prepared that that might be something that suddenly is introduced at the airport. So if someone comes towards you with a swab, you know what it is.
Right.
There'll be forms to fill in. Because people will want to know exactly where you're going to be. So when you arrive at your destination, there's no point in just saying, oh, I'm going to go where the wind takes me. You know, that's lovely. Those footloose and free days, unfortunately, where you're going to need to tell people where you are going, where you're staying, and you're going to need to be able to give people a telephone number. So that's just something to bear in mind. There'll be more forms. The other thing is that certain countries may decide on a whim or may soon be doing it automatically, get you to walk through a temperature check. And these are normally the full body scans that will just, as you walk through, gauge your temperature and just pick up if anything's slightly wrong. And with the PCR test and with the temperature check, if either of those things came back with maybe not a positive, but with a, oh, something's slightly wrong here, you might be asked to go to a hotel with your family to stay overnight to have a second test the next day. So these are the kind of things we just need to be prepared for. None of them are kind of life-changing, but you know, they are things that we just perhaps need to bear in mind. But there's also some very good things to think about. So the Caribbean is open to all British passport holders. Huge number of the islands welcoming us. And Barbados is offering anybody that's working from home for the next year, which a lot of offices are saying, you know what, we're going to close our office for a year. We're going to make good use of the fact that we've got no bills coming in and we seem to be working really well with everybody at home. Well, if that's you, you can go to Barbados and work from home there for 12 months. So wow. Can you imagine laptop in a hammock and submitting your expenses claim from the beach, sipping a pina colada?
I think you've talked me into it. Well, listen, Sarah, lovely to chat to you. Some great ideas there and some useful information about you know, what to expect when we do go on our holiday. So I'll say thanks for your time, and we'll play some more music while I go off and book myself a holiday in the Caribbean.
Me too.